Articles by Desiring God.
Enter into my happiness. Jesus' invitation to infinite joy. Written and read by David Mathis. Imagine that moment when Jesus first opened his mouth to begin his Sermon on the Mount. The Gospel of Matthew sets the scene. Jesus has been baptized by John and endured 40 days of wilderness fasting and temptation. He has quietly begun his public ministry in the region of Galilee and called his first disciples. He started by teaching in synagogues, but now, as his fame spreads, the crowds swell, and his ministry is increasingly consigned to open air. Seeing the crowds, Jesus goes up a mountain. The gentle slope will serve as a natural theater where he might be seen and his words heard by the masses. Has humble Galilee ever seen anything like this? Anyone like this? Not only does this tradesman's son heal, but he speaks with a captivating weight. The scribes borrow their authority, as they should, from Scripture, as they teach and explain God's word. But this man, perfectly in sync with Scripture, somehow speaks on par with Scripture. And even in some enigmatic sense, his authority seems to rise above it. There are whispers. Might this be the prophet to come? Might this be Messiah himself? It all makes for an electric moment, the air thick with energy and excitement. A hush ripples through the crowd. He is about to speak. What will Jesus say? How will he start? What will be the first topic he addresses at such a poignant moment? He opens his mouth and says, "Blessed." Ninefold happiness. Remarkably, Jesus' first topic, his repeated first topic, is the blessedness, the happiness of his hearers. He assumes they want to be happy, and he makes an extended appeal, a holy, perceptive, profound appeal to their happiness, not just once, but over and over again. The refrain of these precious opening words, which will come to be known as the Beatitudes, addresses the deep and enduring desire of the human heart to be happy, that is, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed, 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 blessed. 9 times Jesus makes his stunningly hedonistic appeal and tops it all off with the exhortation, for those in the face of persecution no less, to rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. The opening salvos of Jesus' most famous sermon promise true happiness. His refrain is reward. His charge is rejoice and be glad. Many of us today are so familiar with these Beatitudes that we miss the shock, the scandal, the gall of a preacher unleashing such a pleasure-seeking manifesto on an unsuspecting audience. Our blessed God. Part of the reason we miss this edge in Jesus' message is because our word blessed has lost much of its power. In the first century, blessed was no overused hashtag. It wasn't Christianese suffering from overuse and shallowness. Blessed in the Hebrew scriptures was the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, so rich and full and sweet a delight that on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 2. Blessed was no small promise from the mouth of Jesus to the ears of the crowds. The Greeks had mused about the blessedness of their gods as the transcendent happiness of a life beyond care, labor, and death, the happy state of the gods above earthly suffering and labors. In 1 Timothy, Paul applies the term to the Father of Jesus Christ. He is the blessed God who has entrusted Paul with the gospel of his glory. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Accordingly, Peter von Maastricht, favorite systematician of Jonathan Edwards, would come along centuries later and define divine blessedness as God's perfect enjoyment of his own self, from which there is said to be fullness of joys with his face. In it is contained not only an exact knowledge of his own self, a knowledge proper to him alone, but also a fullness, repose, and joy in himself, in the communion of the persons, and in all his works. In other words, to be God is to be happy, infinitely, unshakably happy. Because what makes him happiest, who makes him happiest, is infinite and unshakable, himself. God is not an idolater. He has no greater joy than himself. He is supreme being, highest, infinitely so, in value, glory, beauty, and happiness. God is far and away, utterly unrivaled, the most valuable and most delightful reality. And before anything else existed through his creative mind and hands, he was fully satisfied in himself. He alone is the bottomless source of all true delight, even for himself. He is God, and to be God means to possess and enjoy infinite bliss, and apparently to be inclined to share it. Our blessing God. What's so stunning in Jesus' repeated call to true happiness is that it presupposes God's willingness, even his eagerness, to extend his own happiness to his creatures. The blessedness Jesus promises is the blessedness of God himself, shared with his people. In fact, as his disciples and their expanding circle come to learn, Jesus himself stands among them as the fully human and divine expression of God's happiness. Jesus comes as an extension of his Father's own blessedness, and he offers that blessedness to those who hear him in faith. The kingdom of heaven, so prominent in Jesus' teaching, is first and foremost the sphere of God's happy smile and favor. Unexpected conditions. Still, the repeated invitation to such blessedness is not yet the end of the surprise. 9 unexpected, seemingly upside-down qualifications follow Jesus' ninefold promise of God-given happiness. Counter to our natural expectations, these promises are not for the strong, the glib, the proud, the vindicated, the exacting, the worldly triumphant. This happiness, the happiness that comes from God himself, is on offer to the weak, the lowly, the despised, the ones who look foolish and shameful in the eyes of the world, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The blessed God is not into icing the cakes of otherwise happy people. He takes the empty and fills them from the very bottom with his surpassing blessedness. He takes the needy and shares with them his own boundless bliss. He recruits those who lack that he might fill them. He receives the dependent that his own joy in them might be seen to be as rich and full and thick as divine joy really is. The happy God, in his fullness and bounty, in his infinite joy and delight, generously overflows to give, enrich, comfort, feed, extend mercy, show himself, adopt, vindicate, and reward all those who will abandon the pretense of being fine without him and will gladly receive the lavish abundance of his grace and mercy. Happiness rewards the humble. Jesus' opening lines in this sermon call us to acknowledge the depth of our emptiness, recognize the extent of our neediness, even glory in our lack and our dependence, and to claim the fullness of God's generous provision and contagious happiness. He is both the blessed God and the blessing God, who sent his own Son not only to speak of our blessedness in him, but to secure it. The happy God is the giving God, giving mercy, the kingdom, the whole earth, and great reward. He comforts and satisfies. He reveals his own heart to his children and calls them his sons. This happy God and Father makes his sun rise and sends his life-giving rain even on the evil and unjust. He rewards those who seek him in secret. Indeed, he knows what his children need before they ask, and he is eager to give good gifts to those who ask. He feeds them far better than the birds and clothes them far better than the lilies. He gives daily bread, forgives debts, and delivers from evil. Blessed, 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 Jesus says, and he invites us into the very happiness of God.
For more resources, visit desiringgod.org.